As you know, we've partnered with Bitbox, makers of the Bitbox O2 hardware wallet. It's a secure, open source, Bitcoin-only hardware wallet with the best user experience in the industry. I personally use it to guarantee that I'll always have access to some of my Bitcoin in cold storage whenever I travel. If you want to check out a Bitbox O2, you can use the promo code HIGHHASHRATE to get 5% off your purchase or go to bitbox.swiss/HIGHHASHRATE. All one word, no spaces.
Screw it. Here we go.
There's a reason the CIA has spent so much money investing in Hollywood.
Yo.
Because
Yo.
It is a very effective way to influence culture, to influence people. You can use the scenes and the emotions to like...
It's the most effective way. Hey, everybody. This is the High Hash Rate Podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dan.
And this podcast is just two plebs getting high and talking about Bitcoin, life, and the absurdity of the fiat world. Our guests don't necessarily get high with us, and you don't have to either.
But it helps.
Started listening to music in the background when I do these, so I feel more comfortable. But the
doesn't that make it harder to
I can't
follow along and
maybe
pay attention?
That's better though.
It's like
I always find myself straining to like understand what anyone is fucking talking about.
Have you ever seen the movie Baby Driver?
Yeah, of course.
Where it's like the dude, he's like the getaway driver for. It's a little over the top. He's got his music. For him, I think it's drowning out the tinnitus, the ringing in his ears from having like a gun go off right next to his head when he was a kid.
No, it was a car crash. It was a car crash.
Yeah, a car crash. Yeah.
But, indicative of the Baby Driver movie. You know. Anyway.
Yeah, you're exactly. But for some people, maybe it's like to drown out the autism, the ADHD.
For me, it's just to like smooth it out, smooth out the edge of silence or smooth out the edge of like stupidity.
Oh, okay. So yours is.
Yeah. That's where that
lands. Yours is a mental thing.
But that's not... You know, this is like the beginning of the show, I guess. Welcome back to High Hash Rate. I was just thinking about this Baby Driver thing. And when you... The fact that the... You know what you just pointed out is the fact of the parent's death, okay? And how it happened, a car crash. But then this guy turns into a car beast, you know? Knows everything about cars.
Right.
And basically goes great lengths to do some very, very, tough stuff, like stunt stuff with cars. Okay. Anyway. So.
Yeah. Right.
I just think that's interesting that the one dynamic births another dynamic. And that's about all I have on that. No, I had more. Completely lost it.
That's a good observation, Mike. It's a good observation. One dynamic creates another dynamic. That is true. That is, it's how the universe
works.
It's the
complete opposite dynamic.
Every action has an
equal and opposite.
Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Yeah, so you're right. Things happen and then other things happen. That's astute.
There are so many instances
more than you realize.
Of this element in stories. You know, there's so many like...
Okay, there you go.
Stories... Especially movies. I mean, I'm not a movie buff, but I've seen enough movies and I've studied it, you know, that I can speak to it of sorts.
I mean, I'm curious, you're a movie buff, or you're not a movie buff. You do not describe yourself as a movie buff. However,
there are savants of movie buffness. Like Tarantino is one
into
of
film.
Them, for instance.
So you went into film, but you're not really that into movies.
I am into movies. Actually, I'm more... You know what I figured out is like...
So that you would not consider yourself a movie buff then? What is the difference between those
A
things?
Movie buff can tell you like a... Imagine someone who follows baseball like crazy. Can tell you the stats of the 1970 Angels or whatever. They know the batting average of everyone, blah, blah, blah. Because of all the trading cards that they had from back
in the day. That's part of it.
So a movie buff can tell you... that degree of information on directors, their line of work, basically the breadth of their work, they can tell you what they produced, who, and in each film they could say who produced it, who direct, you know, who was editing it, who.
But you can't you do the same thing, but more with like the technicals of the way the film was shot, the scenes, the just the
so that's
the entire
that's the route
image
I take.
That it's.
For sure. But
so then you don't think that makes you a movie buff?
Well,
that you can't do, you can't point to, so somebody points to another movie and they're talking about the plot or the characters.
Sure.
That's cool. But you don't think that somebody can point to a movie and pointing out all the, like, I mean, that's extra, like the people that are obsessed with stats, like that's a level of autism. But then like the person who's obsessed with the, all these super technical ways that the information is being delivered, that the events, the way that this story was captured, that's just a different type of, it's way more, I guess, niche interest, but it's still, I guess I would consider that a movie buff.
Well, the true sort of autistic savants, like I said, as I mentioned, Tarantino in this arena, it can do
right.
Both. They can go through filmographies of very obscure directors, and at the same time, they can reference those in their own films and make images that are, you know, speaking to their own style, but also speaking to the style of yesteryear. So where they got the image from. And it's...
The repurposing memes.
Yes, for sure. For sure. And what that makes me think about actually is something I wanted to bring up tonight out of nowhere. I mean, but before I go into that, I'll just say that the technical aspect is an important attribute to understand, because you can break down, like a normie can watch a movie and get a feeling, but a technician can break down the points and reasons as to why that emotion was delivered. So there is.
So you study how to manipulate people's emotions.
I guess that's the, in some
with,
regard. Well, I don't really think I have that power as much as I have the power to recognize the emotion.
Well, if you can expand on that, what's the difference there?
Recognize the
emotion, but.
I recognize how to achieve the emotion. I recognize how it was achieved. That's what I mean.
Okay.
I recognize that,
and
the
you recognize how it was achieved, but then what is the barrier to reproducing similar scenes that evoke the emotion that you are trying to get from the audience?
What is the barrier? The barrier is probably a director by
yeah, you
director
said you can
recognize.
Yeah, no, I guess, but I'm saying you recognize how it was achieved. So what is stopping you from doing that yourself? If you recognize how it was achieved,
good question.
What is preventing you from being able to achieve it for your own?
So that goes into
stories.
A couple of, that's like a personal question, not in a bad way. That is a personal question. So I am always finding myself when I get into a story that I reach a wall somewhere and that I have to turn away from it. And usually when you turn away from a project, I think with anything, really, the more often you turn away from those projects, the less you are, you know, sort of persevering and going through. So it's very easy for me to break down a reality TV show and tell you like what series of shots they had to go through and what blah, 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 you know, they had to get to evoke them that emotion.
Yeah, right.
But I know I'm rambling here, but the opposite side of that is that if you haven't, this is like limited time, or if you're not using your time effectively, you won't be able to produce these things.
So you basically, you recognize it, but you don't have the time or the attention or the focus to do what is necessary to achieve your own version of that?
Well, sometimes I do. And in those moments I can, but it's shorter periods. It's shorter periods. So if you have the...
So short movies.
So you have to do, yeah, basically you short have to make films. Short films. And that's kind of interesting to think about how that relates to fiat, by the way. In some effect that we have to make shorter images or shorter length of time of motion.
Yeah, well, I think that, I don't know if that's fiat, honestly. I think that's just the function of technology and the feedback. The feedback loops or the latency is just so much shorter now that if there's a piece of information that's valuable, 500 years ago, and you're the only person who knows it, or you're pretty sure that you're one of the only people who knows it, well, it's not going to spread very far because that information is limited by, you have to travel to tell other people, et cetera, to act on it, or hope that they don't, you know, get that information else, you know, figure it out themselves. But now it's, if you learn something new, 99% of the time you should assume that everybody else knows it, because whether you got it from online, Twitter, whatever, everybody's got it. So I think that's more, less fiat than that. But my next question was going to be, you said you like have to do it in short films, but don't you think it's harder to get the right emotions from people the less amount of time? I mean, we talked about this with Orange Pilling. You have 5 minutes. Like, you're not going to achieve a whole lot in 5 minutes with a conversation with somebody, you know, trying to convince them to move their life savings into this new technology that they know very little about. So does that equate, or does that translate when you're trying to capture the right emotion? Is it kind of limited? So if you have like 10 seconds or a TikTok or whatever, it's like the type of emotion you're trying to get is going to be like a lower hanging fruit. Okay. Whereas maybe if you're trying to chase certain types of emotions that are really fit for a longer format, it's going to be harder to get it all crammed into a short film.
Well, yeah, that's interesting to think about, that there's a, you know, I think we've spoken about this before,
people on
the amount of time it takes to receive the images or the story reflects with the sort of the emotion that you have with it. So you can get a breath of emotion, it's the difference between like how fast a rabbit breathes to how fast like a whale breathes or something like that.
Right.
So it's a different breath. If you have a movie, you're going to get a range of emotions all encapsulated into one space. If you have a meme, you're going to hit a very small dopamine, you know, hit, and then that's it. And
right. Like, it's the knowing the audience and knowing the constraints,
yes,
of what you can accomplish in time, right? So it's like people have this problem all over the place. They date somebody and by the third date, they're in love. They don't understand. It's just kind of a dopamine thing. So and the other person might be more self-aware, just more mature about it and realize like, whoa, this person is freaking me out because they are way super into me. And it's like, I barely know this person. Or you meet somebody and you're trying to convince them of something, you know, like, oh, you got orange peeled super fast. And so you're like, dude, I'm going to have this person's whole worldview changed in like a day or in a single conversation. That's not going to work either. Where you've got people who just like, they want to play guitar. They want to be like a rock star. So they get a guitar after like a couple hours of practicing. Like, this is way too hard. Like, I was expecting to pick up this guitar and get the dopamine hit of being a rock star, just blasting away in front of this sold out arena. And it's like, I can't even get the right chords. I can't get them to configure. This is not the reaction I was hoping to get from having this guitar. I was not expecting this to make me frustrated. It's expecting to make me feel good. And so
we all thought we'd be rock stars and movie gods and whatever.
Right. So it's like,
we won't.
I wonder if people who are struggling to find their audience or to find like their artistic, whatever, like niche or like that groove. It's like, and I'm not saying that maybe you are doing this. This is not an indictment. This just made me think of this. It's like, because it made me think of myself as well, where it's like, maybe you've got to get the reaction that you're looking for. You have to align that with the right amount of, or the right medium, or the right length of that medium. How much time do you have their attention for? Based on the amount of time you have their attention for, that kind of determines, all right,
well,
what can I do with this?
That also feels like it matches how much time do you have attention for it too? Like,
right, exactly. And if you don't have the attention for it, how do you expect other people to have the attention for it? If you made this, if this is from you and you don't have the attention or like the, I've lost interest already, maybe that's a signal that you just haven't found the right thing yet. Or when you do have the time, it's a feedback that you're on the right course. Your energy is being efficiently channeled towards this project.
That's true.
Yeah. Just my two sats, I guess.
No, man, you made me think about a bunch of stuff right there, and I'm trying to like formulate it. I'm thinking about this.
What songs are you listening to in the background right now?
Oh, it's Arcade Fire. It's an Arcade Fire album.
I would have a hard time concentrating on what I was going to say if I was listening to Arcade Fire, because you got so many instruments and like 27 band
everything,
members.
Everything, no.
No Cars Go. What does that even mean?
No, I'm listening to an original. They have a score.
You would listen to Arcade Fire in 2024 too.
I guess so. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
What you made me think about back there is this dude, like the first dude. Do you know who Edward Muybridge is?
I do not.
Edward Muybridge is sort of known, or is the, you know, inventor of the moving image.
Okay. All right, movie buff. That's another thing that non-movie buffs
would know. My knowledge doesn't go very far on the subject, but I will tell you this. He's the inventor of the moving image, and he invented the moving image because he was a photographer who was interested in seeing how things, you know, worked and moved. And so he would take photos after photos of animals and seeing them move.
Is this before people realized, like, you have a little booklet and you change each drawing just a tiny little bit and you flip through it fast?
So, and
did people know that you could do this before or after this guy did it with pictures?
This is a good question, because I don't know the chronology. I should know, but I don't, and I was taught the chronology of how the moving image came to be. I know this one sort of detail. I know a few others.
Okay.
But okay. It was Muybridge, and he was interested. He made a bet with a dude, and the bet with the dude was, does a horse release all four of its legs off the ground when it runs? And the dude said, no, there's a leg that always stays on the ground.
Okay. Yeah.
And Muybridge is like, no, all the legs are off the ground. And he probably understood that he was already going to be right about this bet, because he had...
This would be a Twitter argument. Like, if they had it back then, instead of figuring it out in like 10 seconds, it took this dude, this is quite a length of time after between the argument, and he's like, motherfucker, I'm going to go prove this.
That's like a life's work right there. What he basically discovered was like that we can capture emotion, and that the value of being able to capture motion is, it's priceless.
If you can capture motion, you can capture emotion.
Ooh, that's nice. That's nice, Dan.
That's
like a digital thing, you know?
Right.
Anyway, so he bet this guy, and then he took all these images. And what he did was he set on a racetrack a bunch of cameras set up in a line, and then he took them as each camera took a shot as the horse ran. So you have basically, it's like a matrix, the first matrix shot, because that's how the matrix is shot, like a bunch of different cameras all shooting at the same time while the actor jumps. So this guy shot this horse, and he, you know, he showed the other guy, obviously, and he saw that the horse...
He recorded the horse with pictures, like he didn't shoot him with a gun.
Yes,
right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah. Right.
And this horse running is like an infamous first moving image.
Oh, that's right. I think I've seen that, or I've seen a recreation of it.
I mean, it's the...
But yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
It's
a horse running. Okay. It's a man... no, it's just a horse running. And what's kind of interesting about that is that I can... Because what he did was like he was able to project motion. Like, that's an interesting concept, to be able to project motion. Like, we're talking on, you know, our... over the internet right now. We can see each other moving, and we can hear each other. I mean, it's such a, like, you're being able to like transmit time by projecting motion.
Yeah.
And to this day, we can like, I could take his fucking image that he created, the horse, and I could put it up on my projected screen that I see in front of me. And it just, I could see it roll and roll over again in a GIF. And it's like the amount of projection that has because of technology. I'm so curious about like what could possibly be after this. Like, what's going next? Like, am I going to be interfacing with information directly, where it's not even it's like projected in my mind or something?
I think it's got to just get to the point where it's so clear and so convincing and so real that it can somehow convince or trick your perceptions, at least even if just briefly, like make you think that it's real and kind of break maybe the fifth wall. I don't know. They talk about in movies, if you break the fourth wall, will you like acknowledge the audience that maybe there's, you know, a fifth wall, right? Where it's like you are able to somehow break that perception that what you're doing is viewing something that's not really there. Like you're viewing another scene or a video from somewhere else in the world or just whatever. And that like sucks you in. And some people will be able to do it really quickly and briefly or whatever, but some people will be able to like pull you in for longer periods of time. I don't know, maybe that's where we go next, but it's interesting. And it's the question I had, and I don't know what the answer to this is, so it's just like a speculation, but of all the things that would be or motivate somebody to create the first moving image or inspire it, it was such a weird thing. It's like, dude, it's like, I think a horse is like all four of its hooves are in the air at the same time. That's what it looks like to me. And somebody's like, I don't think so. I think one stays down. And they're like, nah, fuck you. And then they just had like, there's that joke by Patrice O'Neill. He died a few years ago, but the
comedian.
Big black dude.
Yeah, the
really
comedian.
One of the funniest ever to do it. And he said that men don't have like many, and on the surface level, like very important arguments or debates. They just debate about the dumbest shit, and they'll debate it like it's the most important debate in the world. Like, you know, would you rather, and it's like, you know, would you rather do, you know, bang a really fat, you know, with something gross, or do something else that's gross but it or sucks in a different way. And it's like you'll just debate that over and over. It's like, no man, you got to go with option A. And then they'll just list all these reasons why, and you're like, this is insane. But that's what these dudes are doing. They're just arguing over horse hooves on the ground. It's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to invent movies to prove you wrong. Because I will be able to stop time and be able to stop and observe. What we're observing is like all this movement in time. I'll be able to capture it in context with everything else. So we can see every frame, every moment in time. And then we can just go through each one step by step. But
it's like, what were the people, just wonder, like, what were the people thinking at the times? There can't, you know, you can't record any image. You can have a photograph. I mean, the photography has been around for already 100 years or something like that.
Right, but nobody put them all like...
Yeah.
Like now when you take a picture on an iPhone, if you like hold the button wrong, it like it takes a picture, but then when you go to look back at it, it's really like a 2 or 3 second movie or whatever. Yeah. But it was so much work to just get that much when he did it. But it's just crazy that nobody thought to do that before. It's like, well, if I just keep taking all these pictures really, really fast and then look at them a certain way, flip through them like in a book, it's a movie.
I guess it seems like another iteration of basically to like speeding up data, I guess, because you can speed up emotion or information much faster.
The amount of data that you can record and then go back and like revisit it or review it and get so much more based on if you looked at each picture one by one, it's much different than rapid fire where it makes it seem like a movie. You're just manipulating the speed at which people experience data and the speed at which they experience the data, depending on the data, changes the whole context, the whole perception, the whole emotion of it.
And people, by the way, people during this time were like jaw dropping, what am I seeing? Like a train coming at me.
If it was some like artistic guy, like some idiot, some asshole, like some bohemian asshole versus like some autistic, you know, somebody who just wants to prove a point just to win an argument, they would have like made some sort of unrecognizable artistic version of it instead of like everybody understands what a horse looks like running. It's one of the most common things that people conceptualize throughout all of human history around the world is a horse running. It's like, I'm going to make a video of that. No, everybody will get it. Instead of somebody who's like, I'm avant-garde. I'm going to show you how you can make a movie out of blobs or some art.
Yeah. I mean, it projects all the way into computer and data in that way, you know, computers and data, it projects all the way.
What do you mean?
Well, if you can capture, like if the original capturing of data, I guess that's what we're always talking about. We always talk about
we don't need a computer for that, but yeah.
No, I'm saying like, what's the original capture data? It's probably something like cavemen paintings, right? And then you move on to.
Or just like a song.
Or a song. Like
they used to write songs so you could remember information. The stories.
Noises. Think
about how many songs you know the lyrics to.
Yeah.
And think about how many stories or books you could read, even a page of. Like you could recite it. You couldn't do that. That's what they did. They created songs and like poetry so you could tell us. It would be easier to remember a story because you couldn't write it down. You didn't have books. So like I'll tell you a story or a song. We'll sing a song. Everybody remembers the song. People are always like, oh, I can't get this song out of my head. And they're singing it everywhere they go. Well, they're repeating information. It's like a really good song that gets stuck in your head. And it's like making you think about it. It's like you're memorizing it. It's like some weird, when you put some like a rhythm or a beat or just the vibe, you change that and you get it stuck in somebody's head and they just keep repeating it over and over and over again. And then you get them to start repeating it out loud. So it's like spoiler, like a pollen on a plant. It's like blowing through the field and it's pollinating other plants, right? But it's like you're just singing this song out loud and somebody hears you and they hear it and they get the song stuck in their head. How many times have you been singing a song that's been stuck in your head and the other person, like your partner, your girlfriend, your whatever, they start singing it too. But they didn't even hear the song that you were listening to. They got it because you were singing it. So now you got them like processing new information in their mind over and over again and they're singing it out loud. Somebody at the store hears them and that's how information spreads. That's why Taylor Swift is that's why she's a billionaire. She can put information in people's heads by the millions and get them to just constantly be processing it, putting it out and wanting to hear it. You know, that is why Taylor Swift is so worth so much money. You can say, oh, her music sucks or like, I don't get it. It's not for me. It's not for me either, but she has a skill for spreading an idea, a song, whatever, a product. She can spread a product and get people super, super obsessed with it.
Well, it just goes to show like sort of that power of projection, like what it means if you can project to as many people as she does and get them to agree with you.
Like Hawk 2, a girl, man. Like everybody in the world is
talking about Hawk
2. I wanted
you to get into Hawk 2. You had a whole thing about this. You had a whole thing about this that you texted me about.
It's the biggest meme.
Why is it the biggest meme? And
It was the first. So, you know, I'm not
interesting about it.
Me more than you, I guess. But there's a bazillion memes that come flash across your timeline. TikTok videos. People are on TikTok literally hours a day. It's like the Congress and Senate are trying to ban it or like kick the Chinese government out of control of TikTok, because it's like that's what everybody, especially young people, it's all they do is they consume TikTok, memes, videos, whatever. There's people doing this around the world all day long. So there's a million of these videos and memes. And some of them go viral, you know, and maybe you'll see some that a bunch of people that you know are sending you or retweeting. But like very rarely is something so viral that you can ask like whether it's your mom or your girlfriend or a coworker or just literally anybody in your circle, you say, you reference it or you ask about it and they know what you're talking about. And rarely does that happen within like a day. Everybody, the news, the media, everything is talking about this one meme. Everybody saw it. And the only thing that I can think of that was as big and as fast, and you actually mentioned it, was the slap at the Oscars when Will Smith slapped Chris Rock. But like that one was a little different in my opinion. I told you that because that was like the Oscars is like a $60 million production. It's one of the oldest institutions in terms of moving pictures that people see on screens in the world. Like it's globally broadcasted live. So, and people are expecting A-list celebrities. They're tuning in to watch what they do. It's a performance as much as it is like just an awards show. So this major thing happened between A-list celebrities that everybody essentially recognizes and knows who they are, depending. I mean, you could go to any country in the world, put up Will Smith or Chris Rock's face. Most of the people there would be like, yeah, I know who those people are, or I recognize them even. But this girl, just some college girl, I think she was in Nashville, just says Hawk 2 a spit on that thing on TikTok. And it's like, boom, the whole world knows who she is. So one of them was like it required this like decades institution, millions of dollars, A-list celebrities, like just all this attention and marketing. And the other one, just grassroots spread on TikTok and then to all the other platforms, the same, at the same speed, the same size. So that one probably cost whatever that person spent in terms of their time,
the iPhone
on the street,
and an iPhone
that they own, and then to upload it to TikTok. That's all you needed, which almost everybody has. Anybody listening to this has that. So I just think it's very valuable. So this is what I was asking you in the text. Was like, what do you think it is about Hawk 2 that made this? I mean, it's like you said, it's not that special. It's not that funny. It's kind of like it is when you first see it, but that's it. Like, I don't understand why it spread. I've seen so much better content, so much funnier, so much more beautiful or shocking or whatever that did not spread that fast. So it's kind of like what you were saying, where you recognize that something is evoking a lot of emotion, or you recognize that something is very, very popular for some reason, but it's hard to, how do you recreate that? You said basically, well, it's for me, it's the time and resources to actually spend doing this. But if all it took is recording something for 10 seconds and uploading it to TikTok, if you could just do that over and over and over again, you'd be a billionaire. You would be like Kim Kardashian. Like that's how she's captured attention. So I would say the Kardashians either instinctually or maybe consciously, they know how capture that, you know, a huge audience's attention quickly. They can do it over and over again, but it's still, they spend a lot of money to do it, so it's not quite as easy as,
well, they also had, I mean, there's a bunch of places to go off there, but they also had the insight to make a reality TV show about a family,
sure.
You know, that's like, right. That's kind of revolutionary, which is why they are the Kardashians. They are the standard of reality TV shows about family.
Well, yeah, not just any family, a very...
rich family, right?
Or, very rich
and
family.
Interconnect, you know.
Very not shy
drama
sisters.
Ridden.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, they know what they're doing, right? Like, they know how to be dramatic, to be entertaining.
Yes.
They know how to be entertaining. Whether you like it or hate it, that's what a lot of people don't get. It's like the people who hate something enough that like they constantly like, this is trash, this is like Kardashian reality.
Yes, exactly.
TV.
Yes.
It's like, but like hating on that is still, it's still
recognizing
giving attention.
It.
It's still they need that negative attention.
Energy.
Just as much as
for
they
sure,
need
it's energy.
The positive attention, right?
Yeah. Yeah, attention is energy. That's right.
Exactly. So it's like people who were never watched pro wrestling, WWF when you were a kid. It's like the dudes that were selling the most tickets weren't always the, what you call a face, the good guy. Like sometimes The Rock, you know, he was a bad guy for years. It was like he was selling as many tickets. People were showing up to see The Rock,
yeah.
Even though they were all there to boo him. They were there to see him and they were paying
mm-hmm.
for it. Yeah.
But the Hawk 2 thing, the Hawk 2 a girl, because I did have some thought on this as to why it might be so big. Is the, first of all, the meme is so easy. It's like Hawk to a, you know, it's like, first of all, it's like a,
right. That's part of it.
It's like a noise that we all know and make.
Yeah.
And are
yeah,
familiar
right.
with.
She's making, I don't know what the term is where you basically create a word.
Onomatopoeia, I think it's called.
To
make a sound.
To explain like a sound that people commonly make. So like Hawk and the Loopy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's one thing is that could definitely spread the virality of it, which is so funny that it's like
it helps,
viral.
For sure.
This thing that Hawk 2 is a viral thing, right? It's hilarious.
Right.
God, it's hilarious.
And it's just shocking enough, too, when she gets done with it. You're like, oh, she just said spit on a dick and sucked
it.
She said Hawk, but she said Hawk 2 is spit on
yes.
that thing. So she says that, and so you're just like, whoa, didn't see that coming. It's like that person, I wasn't expecting that answer.
Sure. But so it's still run of the mill. It's just like such a run of the mill thing.
So that's a good point, but yes. It's like vulgar.
Yes.
I think he says vulgar.
It is very vulgar.
But it's what you expect to hear in terms of like vulgarity in your day-to-day life isn't necessarily what you expect people to say in a situation like that, like in real, like they know that this is going to be seen by a lot of people. If somebody's on a camera, right, they change their behavior. They don't say, they try to be a little bit more tight-lipped and they don't want to be offensive. They just want to get through it or just seem nice.
Yes.
So yes, it's vulgar and run-of-the-mill, but in that situation on a camera, it's a surprising, especially because you're put on the spot. Even if it's just vulgar, it's still, wow, you know, she came up with a funny response,
mm-hmm.
quick, funny response really quickly there, where most people, you put them on the spot. Like, you can't even, we're on 103 episodes of this show, and you still can't open the podcast without being like, oh, welcome, I don't know what to say, I lost my train of thought. And this girl, like, just was like, I'm just going to drop the hottest meme of 2024. And I had 0 seconds to prepare for this. You just put camera in my face. That's there is an element of
so confidence is what you're seeing.
Skill there, confidence is for sure.
And you're also seeing, like sort of, mass masculine love or whatever. You're like love on the dudes, right? And being like a, because she talks about being like a only to with one guy, right? I love you, Mook.
I don't know. I saw her say Hawk to
us. So she has a whole thing before.
See the rest of the
video. She has a thing before. Is like, I think the original question, if I can remember, is like.
So he's asking her like sexual stuff, and she's like answering, being like pretty loose, but she's like saying, "Sorry, I love you" to my boyfriend. Like,
yeah, something like to that effect.
I'm loyal to you, but I'm about to say, you know,
it's
spit on the dick and suck
no,
it.
I think the question was like, what do you do when about a breakup, she says, get off of, get hop off one on and go underneath one, whatever. So, you know, I'm paraphrasing.
Oh, okay.
Here. And then she says, before that, but I, you know, I love you, Mookie. You're the only one. But then she goes into this, like, what do you do, you know, with a D? You go right into
the
it.
Dick.
Yes.
You can say it. Yeah.
So I think with the sort of masculine, you know, like this sounds like a girl that many men would probably want to be with. That's what I'm saying. Is she has this, like,
yeah, dudes were like, that's hot. That's what exactly. They thought.
So that might be another. So this is a message. This
well,
is
yeah,
what
that's
I'm trying
part
to get
of it.
At.
Of course, like,
this
I mean,
is a message that's being delivered lately. Tate delivers this fucking
saying.
Message.
I think it goes without saying, like a girl saying something sexual. Of course, that is a big part of it too. I guess we're overthinking the shit out of it. This is stupid. It's the dumbest thing ever. My point is, I don't really care about that specific meme, like, or I don't care about that video. What I care about is, Jesus Christ, like, I've never seen something go viral that fast.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And I'm just trying to break down.
I wonder why. You know? Yeah, right.
But it's
because I wish I could go viral like that, because I would make so much money off of it.
Well, do you wish you would go viral
if you could do it, if you could just do it like every day and just you can monetize your social media, I mean, yeah, it'd be great. You just post a few viral clips a day, really cheap, and you make a ton of money.
Sure, but she, in particular, her virality didn't occur from, she's like a big bang, and it just comes. Like, she just answers something.
Oh, sure, and sure, I agree. I'm just saying, if you knew enough,
you know, information comes back at her. I mean, people are, like, stopping her on the street, and, like...
I'm not saying her, even. I'm just saying, like, the dude that recorded it.
Oh, yeah.
If he could find somebody like that who goes viral that fast, you know, every day, his account would be, he'd have millions and millions of followers. He'd be selling every crypto, every product you could possibly shill. He'd be shilling on there for big money.
But you still have to do the work of asking the people. That's still the, you know, the thing you have to do.
I'm not saying, like, you know, asking people questions isn't necessarily... You might just be able to get something from a totally different type of content. I don't know. Stupid topic, but.
Dan, what's new? Tell me what's new.
I don't know what's new, but I'd rather go back to the point of it's been 103 episodes and you still can't open a, you can't bring yourself to, you can't bring yourself to deliver
be professional,
like a solid, yeah, be professional, but that's a gay way of putting it. I'm like, to deliver a,
it's like a, it's,
you know,
like
a
fucking life
performance, a performance or a production,
a lifetime
of,
note I've gotten my entire of, life.
Yeah, what is it? What is it that? How many hundreds of more episodes do you think you got to do before you could say, hey, this is Mike. Welcome back to High Hash
Rate.
I'm
not doing this.
Thank you for listening.
It's a good question,
Do you think the listeners will get mad if you act too stuffy?
No, the stuffiness is like a... It's like, I can't even imagine what it could be, because I know I'm going to stumble over the first fucking three words that I say.
Probably because you expect yourself to fail.
Nah, come on.
Fulfill the expectation.
I like doing the work, and I like coming on first, even when I'm fumbling around. But it's when you're put on the spot. You know, I was a theater kid. Did you know this?
Yeah, we talked about this. That's why this doesn't make sense to me.
Well, the thing about the theater kid is that the lines are already written. The lines are already there, and you already know your cues, and you've been studying it for whatever many weeks you've been studying. When you're...
Yeah, but isn't the lines just a small part of it? Isn't it like everything else, the way that you play the role, other than the words you say? Wouldn't you say that's more important? Like, if you just stand there and recite the lines perfectly, that doesn't even matter. So I guess, you know, maybe that's the point. It doesn't matter. But of all of the things, remembering the lines seems to be the easiest part.
The remember the lines is the easiest part. You're right. The bringing an emotion to it is definitely the most difficult, for sure.
For sure. But do you do that on the spot, or do you do that? Do you prepare for that? Like, do you prepare to bring that emotion, or are you improvising it when you're on stage?
The improv is always the.
Or not improv. You're feeling it. You're in character.
When you have the flow state. Yeah, I mean that exists. It just depends on what night you catch me at. You know, that's all it comes down to. Like,
that's fair.
And usually it's some sort of level of discomfort. that's all I have to say.
Well, that's interesting.
Not really.
No, it is, but
it's obviously a fear that
it's curious. It's curious.
It's a fear that needs to be overcome, and it's probably something that keeps you back. You know, we all have these little pieces of our own story in our life that keep us back from achieving.
Right, you have so many videotapes, but I forget that you're not the one in them.
Fucking videotapes joke.
But you like movies, you like watching back and watching the story unfold.
It's hard. Yeah, man, I'll watch anything.
Yeah.
I'll watch anything.
What videos or movies or things are you working on right now? Like, what are your projects? Like, not stuff for work, but like,
I'm so glad you brought this up. Dan, I'm so glad you brought this up.
Yeah. Do it.
So I got a few projects in the fire right now. I got probably too many, but first one that's almost finished is a rap song. And the rap song is written off of one of Tip and Z, if you're listening, Tip and Z, one of your beats. I'm trying to reach out. So I rapped on one of your beats. And I love it. And I finished. And I re-recorded today. And yeah, I think I'm going to line it all up and it'll be nice. And I'll release that one. And I don't know how to release this thing, but we'll figure it out. And then the other, maybe another project is, I was working on a script, a Bitcoin narrative movie script.
Okay.
And I have breached one of these blockades that I can't continue. So there's a lot of those kinds.
How far did you make it? How many pages did you get? Like, well, how many percent?
Technically, I've written like 80 pages on this thing, but I keep going back and restarting the story with different characters and different sort of essences. Writing is rewriting, they say.
How many times have you changed?
I don't know. How many drafts?
How many drafts?
I have so many drafts of this fucking thing.
Why don't you just finish it and then go back and rewrite it?
The time, bro. The resources.
No, I mean, instead of restarting over and over again, why don't you just
finish a version?
One and then go back? And it's like, all right, if we're going to rewrite the whole thing, it's hard to rewrite something when you never have like an ending. So it's like you're just recreating all of these characters and storylines, etc., without knowing the ending. And you got to figure out the ending. And then you can, once you have that full story arc, right, then you can start to make a little bit more progress on the right characters or the right whatever setting, storyline, et cetera. Are you completely changing the storyline too when you do this?
It sort of maps. Look, it's like a dude from New York that goes to, for reasons, you know, that I haven't figured out yet, that I've changed a million times, but he goes to El Salvador and meets a girl there. And they fall in love, and he leaves his fiat life for his quote unquote Bitcoin life in a way. And that's a easy story to sort of tell in, you know, 2 seconds. But
right.
To tell it with them, you know, the kind of good emotions that you want. I've been watching a lot of romantic comedies, to be honest. A lot.
Does that reflect like an experience you had, just like maybe different settings, different characters?
It does.
The guy from New York going, okay.
It kind of does. I didn't think about that.
Well, my point is, it seems like a story like that is easier to write if you've had a similar experience or whatever, like something you can base it off of, instead of like trying to, oh, a guy
rabbit
goes
out of
to El Salvador and becomes a Bitcoiner and like they fall in love and do this. It's like, well, did you do that? Like, did you? Because it would be hard for me to write that story. Like, I don't really know what these characters would do because I've never really had a perspective on it, you know, or an experience like that.
Personally, I have all of the experience pieces to write this story.
Okay, cool.
They all have to be jumbled around. It's like a, when you, when you get after a shoot, you know, after you shoot a day at, on film, you know, it could be, you know, whatever you're shooting could be a fashion show, a music video, whatever. But you have all this footage. You have like, could be an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of footage. But you're only making a 2 second or 2 minute or 2 10-minute thing. So you have to, there's a lot of
moving. So there's just a lot
shit.
Of like,
there's like a shit you have to go through. You're going through a dumpster. Like you're going through a landfill.
To piece together.
You're going through a fucking landfill of information. And you just got to chuck shit out. You know, just keep chucking.
You're digging through a barrel of snot to find a penny.
Correct.
Yeah.
Through the moving image of the moving image landfill. And that's the sort of difficulty with it. And why it, when you're writing a movie, it's all, and especially if you edit, you can write for an edit and your shit is not as, but you have to, that makes it, everything's, all the information's there. It's very jumbled up. And so you have to like write for the edit and really tune, fine tune it. And when you get to a point and you know it's not going to work because of the thing you said previously, you have to fucking go back. And that's just how the stupid process works. I don't know, man. Too much into this fucking motion picture subject, but it's always...
No, it's a good... It's important.
It just... Because I just think it's so, very... so important. Like, my studies on motion pictures, just my brief amount. I'm just like...
There's a reason the CIA has spent so much money investing in Hollywood. It is a very effective way to influence culture, to influence people. You can use the scenes and the emotions to like...
It's the most effective way.
Get in the, yeah, you can, you basically can, if you're good at it, you can bypass a lot of obvious, like, you know, if you go to a border and it's like, there's like a strip of land and the rest of it's like the ocean over here and the mountains over here. Well, obviously everybody's going to the pass, right? Like, cause that's the obvious way to pass. But if you do, if you're good enough and so they don't have guards in these other places. So you can like, if you're good enough with making a film, you can use all of the information that's coming so fast to like go over those non-obvious spots, get past their defenses, and like they're vulnerable to listening to your message. That's powerful if you can, but it's very hard to do.
And how vulnerable is a society to listen to your message when the money that they use is not working? The place that they live is getting torn down, you know, getting more decrepit. Their food is getting worse.
To make a more practical point, that's, you know, why like Disney is doing so poorly. It's why their CEO is like, we're losing so much money. It's because people have caught on to like, they're using movies, they're using film content, whatever, to, you know, maybe when I say they, I mean Disney specifically, because not everybody does it, but a lot of major production, like filmmakers are doing it, and Disney's one of them, where it's like they're trying to manipulate me. They're doing what I just described about like subliminal messages. That used to be the term in the 80s, right? That was like the big scare. It's like they're using this to try to manipulate my emotions for like political reasons or whatever reasons.
And, I mean,
they're doing it so well, and they're doing it so obviously. So, but now everybody's like looking at them and expecting that they're doing it. No matter how subtle they try to be, like people are just, they have their eye cut, their eyes peeled for anything that Disney might be doing to try to manipulate their emotions about something.
100%. The point I wanted to...
So now all filmmakers have that skepticism towards them from other people. They're like, what's your angle?
Well, certainly.
What are you trying to push?
Filmmakers, but people beyond being filmmakers are seeing that through that veil.
For sure.
But it just made me think, like, they did a remake of The Little Mermaid recently.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's the one I was thinking of, or one of them.
With, I don't know, she's either black or
the black
she's...
Girl.
Is she black? Maybe she's like Indian or something, I don't know. But she has darker skin,
yeah.
Okay? And The Little Mermaid that we all know is the animated white-skinned Little Mermaid.
And it's not... Yeah, go ahead.
The interesting thing is, like, why now? Like, what...
No, right. Like, it's people are always like, oh, the people that are mad about it, they're so racist. It's like, it's really, I mean, some of the people, they're racist. Sure, fine. I'll give you that. But most of it is that it's just a lazy, very obvious, why don't you make a new movie instead of taking this thing that we already know and making the person black or trans or gay or whatever it is, just different from the traditional story. And the only reason you're doing it is to troll. You're trolling. It's just a lazy effort. You didn't create a new movie. You didn't think of a new story. You didn't solve any problems in narrative. You just took an old movie, remade it, and changed an aspect of it specifically to piss people off. It's like, that's just lazy. It's stupid. And it's not...
Was it to piss them off, or was it to, like, push an agenda?
I mean... But yeah, yes. Sure, exactly. They're pushing an agenda, but like they know that this approach will be shocking. Like it'll get people interested.
Oh, okay.
It'll get that narrative going. Like, oh, these people are racist. Mm. Blah blah blah. They don't like this. And maybe that's what they're trying to do. But the reason it's like maybe there's. We're getting some benefit out of it just by like noticing this like lazy, blatant, you know, trolling, but it's obviously not good for like Disney's bottom line. So it's obviously not working from an economic standpoint. It's just getting people talking. It's just controversial. That's all it is. It's just controversial. It's not deeper than that.
The people that can recognize it are certain, like, it sort of becomes like the clowns versus the non-clowns or something. Like,
sure, yeah, it's like when you start to look at the media headlines and you're like, how can they be so stupid? Like, this is the most obnoxious, the most absurd thing you could write. And it's like, yeah, they know that. They're trying to get you to get pissed off and click on it. Like, they're trolling you directly to your face. Because it's effective, it drives engagement. People just want to fight about it.
I saw a tweet from a person I can't remember, but it said, this is not an SNL skit, and then it shows a clip of CNN talking to like a drag queen, and she or he or whoever looks like a clown. I swear, it looks like a clown person.
Right, right.
And you have to think like. It's such a strange time. It's such a fucking strange time to be in of how we're receiving information and what information we're receiving. And being able to turn that off is like, that's almost...
You have
I don't know,
to...
Man. It's like a
You have
economic
to be able
choice.
To control... You have to be able to... Everybody. Google... Instagram, some Meta, Twitter, every single ad, everything online, they are competing for your attention. Everybody wants the biggest viral meme. Everybody wants the biggest account, the most followers. They just want to compete for your attention and therefore your money and your time. And it's such an important skill to just recognize that and control your own reaction to things because they're not just trying to give you good information or good content or valuable or educational or positive content. they're giving you what their, you know, and their algorithm, their data on mm-hmm. you. So if you're just giving your data away for free, they're just giving you the content that will piss you off. Whatever you will engage with, that's what they want. They want your time and attention. So being able to know that this is not a valuable use of your time to be upset about this and to make your voice heard. This is wrong. I don't agree with this. Doesn't matter. Nobody cares. They don't care if you agree with it. Maybe they want you to disagree with it. Whatever it takes to get you to waste your time on them so they can push a product towards you, push a narrative towards you, push an agenda towards you. You just have to be able to tune that out. You have to be able to, like, I'm not letting this trigger me.
I think that's true. The push of a narrative or push of an agenda and the desire to have more followers is, you know, makes sense as to why that would be the case to push out your message. But for me, I start to think about an internal reason to push out my message. Like, I think about survival a lot when I think about this podcast, because shy of like meeting the rock paper Bitcoin guys and talking, you know, about survival all the time. But the thing I'm trying to say is before I get drive to turn down arcade fire. You know, there's also a personal, like, if you're recording your voice and you're recording not just your voice, but like your opinion on things, and you're pushing it out into the world, and you're trying to get it to survive. And does that mean like I'm trying to meme myself into the future, or I'm trying to like show my kids that I, you know, that I existed in some fashion? I guess it is to get, maybe it's to get more, I don't know where I'm going with this.
You don't know what, but that's why you don't, maybe that's why you can't get through the opening of the podcast. You don't know. You still don't know who the audience is. You still don't know what the, you know, still don't, you still don't have the why you're doing it. You like
Look,
doing
I,
it.
I start sentences like I start films when I'm writing them, bro. That's just how it works.
Right. You just,
I have that idea, like, and then it's just like,
and then you go start over. You're like the dude, dude we interviewed last week.
I told you I'm the dumber version of that guy.
No, it's not dumber. It's you start in a sentence and then you run out of ideas for where to go next.
Mm-hmm.
Where he starts a sentence and then has way too many ideas for where to go next and can't. Maybe that's what you have. Maybe you have too many ideas and you've got to just figure out how to narrow it. Or maybe, I don't know. I'm not in your head. Maybe you just,
no, it's the opposite. I do not have too many ideas, but the ones that I have,
okay,
I think are pretty awesome, pretty sharp. That's what I think.
Interesting.
Not really.
It is interesting. It's very interesting. That's what you have to realize too.
I always end up making things about myself because of my, you know.
Well, dude, we're on a podcast. That's what it is. It's about making things about yourself.
I guess it should.
You control the narrative. You control the questions. You control what the framing is. You control how you're presenting it to other people. You wouldn't, if you don't want to make things about yourself, you wouldn't have a podcast. There's a cognitive dissonance there. This was your idea, not mine.
That's true, man. No, they just brought up like a bunch of memories. I don't know if I should go into anything, but it is getting in the later half, and we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah, I mean, we should probably wrap it up, but you're right. So it's something to think about.
I don't know how.
Think about why are you doing high hash rate, Mike? Because I think if you have an ending or a why, you'll be able to finish your sentences.
Oh, I think I've asked myself that question quite a bit. I enjoy this every, you know, what I would do this every Wednesday night, something like this.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. Like it's church or like it's, I think we've spoken about that before.
Yeah.
And regardless of the topics that we end up on, or especially when it's just a you and me episode, you know, I'm looking forward to it and want to just get some kind of morsel or morsel or nugget of interesting information, obviously I want to project that information out to the world. You know, I want to be the one, you know, to show people like, oh, look at this idea. But the true value is like, oh, that idea exists and I can like form my thoughts around it. That's interesting. Like, I think that I experience new little tiny things every time we have this thing. So I look forward to it every week. It's a
good, me too.
Fun thing. But
me too.
I don't know how much this therapy session is for good programming, but programming, right?
Well, you don't have to listen to it. If you don't like
that's
it,
true.
You just go to the next episode.
That's true.
It's not for you. It's for me. I don't give a fuck if you like this or not.
Well, dude, I should just say thank you, Dan, for...
Actually, I do. I do care. I was just kidding.
No, I know.
That was facetious.
I know, dude. I appreciate having this podcast with you for what has been like almost 3 years, feels like.
Yeah. It is. It's great. Don't be gay about it, but it's been great.
It's true. And I always want to like ask you like how it affects you or like what you've learned from it, but you know, maybe it's not the time. So you want to...
Probably a whole new episode right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Do you want to get my information or do you want to ask me to get your information about...
Story, not information.
Or just I'm saying the wrap up question. You know, where can people find
you? No. We don't have to do the wrap up question. You know where to find us. It's all there.
You're listening to us. Anyway, I'm going to cut it. Thank you again for listening to the High Hash Rate podcast with Dan and Mike. If you want to learn more about the podcast and see what we're up to, you can find us at highhashrate.com. Or if you just want to speak to a couple of baked 80 IQ plebs, reach out to us at hello@highhashrate.com. Or you can reach out to us at the High Hash Rate handle on X. Later, everybody.
Holy Toledo!